Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report live here at the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And so very glad to continue to be with you each day as we go through a pandemic and appreciate all of you that are with us. I think that during this time, I know everybody kind of has their routine during the day. You work, you get a lunch break, you get in the car, you listen to radio, you got your favorite station, your favorite show, whatever it may be. But I do think, just based on feedback, that we've picked up some different people. Maybe you're off from work right now. Maybe you normally couldn't catch us in the 11 o'clock hour. Maybe you didn't know we had a podcast available. So no matter if you're a longtime listener, 4 years or something now, we've been doing this show each day, or you're somebody that's new, we are glad to have you with us. We do this each day live at 11 o'clock. If you can't catch us at 11, you can find us as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcast and also on SoundCloud as well. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can subscribe to both on both of those. And let's get to started today with kind of what we do every day. Let's talk about the coronavirus for just a moment and how it affects us locally and how it affects us in the state of Indiana. I saw that Indiana is one of 16 states with more than 10,000 cases of COVID-19. So when you look and see Georgia and Texas either reopening slowly or have plans to reopen very soon, slowly, other states joining that mix as well, and whether it's going to be immediate or whether it's going to be a little bit down the road, hard to see Indiana, honestly, in that group as one of those early states to relax a whole bunch of stuff, although it does seem maybe the elective surgeries and procedures, that's going to be relaxed fairly soon. But as far as any major relaxation of this stay-at-home order and of social distancing requirements like what we're seeing in Georgia, I think they're getting ready to open malls and things like that, as long as they can practice safe social distancing of 6 feet or more. But it'll be interesting to see if and when. Obviously, there's going to be a when, but it'll be interesting to see when things can truly, you could be affected. I mean, not a lot of people are going to be affected by the elective procedures being allowed in hospitals. Obviously, you never know. Things can change day to day. But when are restaurants going to reopen at half capacity or maybe full capacity? When are things going to get just a little bit more normal? Not saying huge public events or huge sporting events, but again, Indiana, they're not at the top by any means. That would be New York and some other metropolitan hotspots. But Indiana, especially Marion County, especially up in Northwest Indiana in the region, they have had their fair share of cases. And to be quite honest, Clark and Floyd County started off as somewhat of a hot spot in the state, but that has apparently slowed a little bit, which is good news right here in our backyards. Let's hope that that good news continues. Let's jump into the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at what other states are doing as far as spring sports, and even Kentucky, now that their schools have been canceled for the entire year, the rest of the school year, in-person classes announced yesterday by Governor Beshear, the boys basketball tournament in Kentucky had been put on hold. It had not been canceled. I think it was the only one in the country that had been put on hold that was not canceled permanently at this point. But yesterday, when school was canceled for the remainder of the year, the basketball tournament in Kentucky as well was canceled. I know some of those coaches, I talked to some of the local guys that had teams in the Sweet 16, which is where things were at. When the tournament there came to a pause, they were hoping maybe it could be played at an unusual time like June before kids head off to college, and hoping that it could be an opportunity to rekindle that tournament. But that is not going to happen. We'll talk about that and a few other things with high school sports. Another recruiting target, he's way up in Northwest Indiana. We don't talk a lot about him, but I think we should start to pay more attention to him from an IU perspective. I'll tell you about him coming up in the headlines as well in just a few moments. And also a really, really neat feature from Kyle Neddenrip and the Indianapolis Star. He has a build a team deal that he's doing a couple a day, two teams a day, and he actually matches the teams up once he builds their all-time great rosters. And he released this morning the New Albany build a team with their 10 best players in his estimation. Did a pretty good job as well. There's always room for debate and those kind of things, but we'll tell you who those 10 players are coming up and get your thoughts on it in our headlines segment. And that's segment one. Later in the program, we'll be joined in segment two by Chris Grinham. Chris writes for Forbes Sports and covers the Boston Celtics. He's been with us before. He just recently pinned a column about Romeo Langford. It was about his affection to the community and how he is well revered by the Southern Indiana crowd that has followed him throughout his career. He pinned that earlier in the week, and we're going to talk with him not only about that story, but what Romeo's up to, what the NBA is up to, and what a guy like Romeo's doing during this downtime, and if the league were to continue, if it does continue, where he thinks Romeo's standing is with Boston. So we'll talk about that with Chris Grinham a little bit later in the program. And then in our final segment today on this Wednesday edition, we're joined by Josh Cook. Josh is the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He joins us Wednesdays as we talk local sports headlines. Not a lot of live stuff locally, but plenty of athletes to talk about, plenty of things always going on in the background. So we'll talk about some of that stuff today as well. And also in the final segment today, we'll tell you all about our spring sport athlete, our spotlight today for seniors. It's Blake Wallace of New Washington. Lots of players and their coaches from across the area have filled out a form that we put online, and each day we've been selecting a senior from across the area to honor. And so today we'll tell you all about the athletic and academic accomplishments of Blake Wallace at New Washington, and also just a little bit more about who he is as a person as well. It's our small way of trying to help honor some of these seniors that have not only had their senior season in sports taken from them here in the spring, but have had so many things, whether it's prom or activities that go along with graduation, maybe even graduation itself in some scenarios. We'll talk about all of that in our show today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, and if you have a purchase of $25 or more, you get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. It's a great deal available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And yesterday, with Kentucky also announcing a couple weeks after Indiana did that in-person classes are a wrap for the rest of the school year, that almost immediately led to some announcements by other state high school associations that had not yet canceled spring sports. Illinois, I know, quickly came in when their state announced that school would be out for the remainder of the year. Kentucky with an announcement, again, not only that spring sports would be canceled for this year, but also their basketball tournament that had been put on hold in hopes it could be played maybe in the summer in some form or fashion. It was canceled officially as well. So Kentucky joins the ranks of Indiana and so many other states that will not have a state champion or state champions for this 2019-2020 high school basketball season. Just amazing to think, you know, you get it, spring sports canceled, this pandemic really bearing down, but in states like Indiana and Kentucky, it's just amazing. And I think we'll always look back in the record book when we look at state champions and Mr. Basketballs and all the historical things that you sometimes scroll back if you're like me and look and see who won this year or how teams were at a certain time. This will always be a year where it will be marked forever. No tournament due to pandemic, I guess, is what the official record books will read. But an odd time when so many things that we think so much of have been postponed, have been canceled. And, of course, now all the attention is on what happens in the fall. Lots of behind-the-scenes conversations, it seems, on what could happen with college football. And it seems that most high school football or most high school athletic associations when it comes to football are saying that, you know, obviously we've got to wait and see. That's the correct answer, I think, in the middle of April when you're talking about sports that get underway with games in mid to late August. Practice, though, comes a lot quicker, especially for a sport like football where your body has to be conditioned. So we'll see as we move forward. I would think that later in the spring, as you get in maybe to the early part of the summer, I guess I think June 1st is a date that sticks out to me because it's a natural break. But I would almost think you would have to have some understanding on not only school for next year, but also high school sports, specifically football and fall sports, for that upcoming fall season. We'll see how it goes. InsideTheHall.com, Alex Bozich, who's always with me on Thursdays to talk IU basketball. They've got a nice profile piece on a young player from Gary, Indiana, West Side Gary, Jalen Washington. He was his first offer was from Indiana, 6'8" forward. He's ranked number 15 in the country, and obviously someone that has some great basketball ahead of him. Indiana, as I mentioned, his first offer, got in on him early. Purdue is offered as well. Iowa, Illinois, DePaul, Xavier as well. So his list of offers continues to grow. As much as we talk about this pandemic affecting seniors right now, this will also affect juniors and their recruiting. And even a young player like Jalen, he's clearly going to get the chance to play Division I basketball. He's got a number of options already. But I think he was a prospect that a lot of college coaches looking forward to watching in the spring and summer months, because his offer list, if I was guessing, if AAU and travel basketball had been played or ends up being played in July, I think he will add a ton of offers to his already growing list of schools that are interested in his services. So, interesting player. He's way up on the other side of the state. He's a young player in the class of 2022, so not a ton of conversation about him just yet, but as things go forward, I think he'll be one of those next round of players once we get through 2021 and lots of talk about Trey Kaufman and other local players and other IU targets around the state. I think that Jalen Washington and Gary West will be one that's a household name in the state of Indiana. Indianapolis Star, Kyle Neddenrip, he's with me on Fridays here on the show. He's had a great feature. This is another one of these great projects that's come about because of the pandemic. If there's any bright side of some downtime and no live sports, it's offered some really creative ways to kind of keep the sports needle moving. And Kyle went through and tried to identify, and that obviously there's room for discussion and arguments about any of this, but he went through and tried to argue or tried to come up with the best 64 high school basketball teams and programs of all time in the state of Indiana. And then once he got his list of 64, he came up with a maximum of 10 players historically that graduated from that program, that played in that program as all-time greats to represent that team, that school. And then once he had the rosters together, he paired up matchups, and you can vote online. There's a different matchup each day. It's basically a tournament. Right now it's still in the fairly early stages as he works from region to region across the state. But here's the New Albany team. You can read this at IndyStar.com. Joe Dean, going way back, 1947-48 was his senior year, was a standout at LSU, went on to work at LSU. Another older player from generations ago, Jim Henry, 1955 Trester Award winner, second in Mr. Basketball that year. He's on the team. And these are alphabetical order, so you're going to bounce around as far as graduation years. Chad Hunter of New Albany, he was an Indiana All-Star, played at Indiana State. In 1997 is when he graduated high school. Chad, a great player from even his young days of high school. And, of course, his son Julian, a senior right now at New Albany. Another great New Albany player over the years, Richie Johnson, 6'8", led New Albany to the state finals as a senior. He graduated in 1979-80. That was his final season. And really led New Albany with a very balanced scoring effort, but New Albany was so loaded that year that they had so many different options and so many different weapons. Of course, Romeo Langford on the list, most recently a Mr. Basketball a few years ago, averaged 29.3 points a game, went to Indiana for a year, now playing for the Boston Celtics. Bubby Mukes, another name in New Albany basketball lore, 6'7". He was third-team All-State as a senior. He graduated in 1982 and averaged 26 points and 8 rebounds per game. One of my all-time favorites. Now, I never got a chance to see him play live, but I've sure heard lots of stories about him. Even got a chance to interview him one day on this program. Julius Norman of New Albany helped New Albany to what was a really unique and special run in 1973 to New Albany's first state championship. What an athlete, what a player, by all accounts that I've heard and can find and can see that Julius Norman was for New Albany. And obviously he has a spot right there at the top, in my opinion, one of the top places on that team along with Romeo Langford. Paul Poff, Paulie Poff, as he was known to a lot of people, fifth in Mr. Basketball voting. He was a senior way back in 1951. New Albany had, you know, I know we think about the 90s and the 80s and, of course, even the state championship in 70s, but New Albany had some really good teams even back in the 50s. Next is Lamont Rowland. There's another household name. Monty has joined us on this program before, averaged 21, almost 22 points and 8 rebounds his senior year, helped New Albany to the state championship game in 1995-96, went on to LSU, went on to Ball State, ended up being inducted into the Hall of Fame at Barton County Community College. And wrapping it up, number 10, this is only alphabetically because he wouldn't be number 10 if you were ranking him, Ladrell Whitehead. What a guard, what a strong guard he was, 5'9", but he was a player, graduated in 1994, Indiana All-Star team member, third in the race for Mr. Basketball. Really good team. Kyle has New Albany matched up in the Southwest region today against Madison, so you can also get on and read about some of Madison's players. And New Albany winning right now, 151 votes for the Bulldogs, 42 votes for Madison. You can get on and vote, read more about this New Albany team. Kyle has a great breakdown of each player that you will find on the site today. That's our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, coming up later, Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports on Romeo Langford and the NBA. Also, later in the show today, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. And our senior spotlight today will tell you all about Blake Wallace of New Washington. He's a baseball player for the Mustangs, and he's our feature senior today that we'll tell you more about later in the show. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program to talk a little Romeo Langford and some NBA basketball as well with Chris Grinham. He covers the Boston Celtics for Forbes Sports, and you probably just recently saw another great feature piece on Romeo by Chris earlier in the week that talks a lot about Romeo Langford Court at Kevin Hammersmith Park. It even includes some comments from New Albany coach Jim Shannon, New Albany Mayor Jeff Gahan as well. And Chris, another nice piece on Romeo that I know kind of whets the appetite of Romeo followers here in Southern Indiana.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad to chat with you today. You know, we talk a lot on this program about what IU, what Archie Miller, what college staffs are up to, the recruiting process and transfer portal continues, but we haven't talked a lot about the NBA other than rumors and things about it possibly coming back with no fans. Even Louisville, in one report, was named as a potential host city for an abbreviated finish to the NBA season and playoffs as well. With that said, what's a guy like Romeo? What's a Boston Celtic player? What generally are NBA guys doing right now in this pause? Because there's, I think, a good hope the season returns without fans at some point down the line, but there also is a lot of unknown. You got to stay in shape. You got to stay ready regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, you think about – most people think about NBA players, and they think, well, they've got hoops, they've got courts, and really that's not the case. I mean, the majority of NBA guys live in apartments in their cities, and and they don't have room for a court, they don't have room for a hoop, or, you know, or maybe they're not on a mega contract where they can't afford putting in a court at their house or something like that. So even a guy like Jason Tatum, who we've spoken to over the last couple weeks, he doesn't even have a court, and he's got a nice house just outside of Boston here, but he doesn't even have a hoop. And so it's difficult. I know the team has sent guys weights. They've sent, you know, stationary bikes. So really it's a lot of mixing and matching. They're doing virtual workouts with team trainers. So I know Romeo has participated in those along with other players where whether it's a team trainer or one of the team strength and conditioning coaches, they'll do a Zoom conference or something with a couple guys or one guy one-on-one, and they'll do their best to do remote workouts. But it's hard to stay in shape. I mean, yeah, there's still that hope at the end of the tunnel that there's going to be basketball this season. But I'm sure in the back of a lot of these guys' minds, they're thinking, you know, I'm not really sure what we're doing here.
Before we get to some Romeo-specific stuff, what is your thought? What do you hear? I know you're around and chat with a lot of different folks involved with the Celtics and across the league. Any insight, any thoughts on what you're hearing could happen if the season is to pick back up?
Unfortunately, there is a ton of uncertainty. I mean, we got off a conference call with Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, this morning, and we asked him, and he said the same thing. He's like, right now, we really just don't know. We're doing our best to prepare for the draft as if it's coming on the 25th of June and for free agency. And yeah, there's still hope that there's going to be a season, but we're just waiting to hear from the Board of Governors, to hear from Adam Silver. So there's still a ton of uncertainty. You know, you've heard the situational, you know, hypotheticals where they can send everyone to Vegas. They can send anyone anywhere, but the logistics of that are so, so difficult. I'm not sure how likely that really is. And it's tough to really guess how likely those situations are, because the league itself hasn't really gone into the nitty-gritty of discussing any specific type of scenario with that. So right now, I wish I had more. I wish anyone had more, but there's so much uncertainty because, as you know, as everyone in the world really knows, this pandemic changes day by day so much. So it's really tough to kind of throw an estimate out there.
Talking with Chris Grinham, Chris covers the Celtics for Forbes Sports and joins us to talk Romeo Langford from time to time. Let's chat about Romeo. Your story kind of highlights, I'm sure, to an audience in the Boston area and beyond that probably had no clue about Romeo Langford Court, an outdoor facility, first-class outdoor facility right here in Floyd County at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. I know you were intrigued to learn about it. You and I chatted off-air about it a couple times, and you interviewed some of the stakeholders and people involved. What's the reaction been from fans or from others that have read your story that, wait a minute, an NBA rookie, a guy that's 18 years old, or when he was 18 years old, had a court named after him in his hometown?
Yeah, I think the reaction is exactly what you said, kind of hit the nail on the head. It's surprising. Like, you don't really think of an 18-year-old, a high school senior, getting a court dedicated to him. I mean, when I talked to Romeo, he said it himself. He's like, a lot of people, as long as they live, they don't get a court or, you know, whatever dedicated or named after them. And at 18, he had that done for him. So the reaction has been very similar to what you said. It's surprising, but when you dive into the article and you dive into Romeo's impact on New Albany and Southern Indiana as a whole, it really isn't all that surprising, because he really did have a big impact on the community as a high schooler. And it's, you know, clear his humility and his maturity is, you know, a large, large part of that, because there's not a lot of high schoolers who would have been able to have that kind of impact on a community. But it was clear the impact he made on that community, the impact he made on everyone down there. It was great to see the community kind of give back to him and kind of show their appreciation back to him in that form. And you could tell he was very appreciative of that.
Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports, my guest, talking Romeo Langford. How would you summarize Romeo's rookie season to date? Obviously, we don't know what happens moving forward at all with the league, but to date, the ups and downs, the playing time, the no playing time, the injuries, maybe just a snapshot on you as someone that covers basically every Celtics game and is in tune with everything the team and franchise does. Where do you see his rookie year?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a roller coaster. You mentioned the up and downs. It was a roller coaster with a great ending. If this is the conclusion of his rookie year, which is a possibility. I think it was a roller coaster with a great ending because, like you said, there were a lot of ups and downs. He started in summer league. He didn't play because he was still recovering from surgery on that thumb. So he didn't play summer league. He got hurt again in training camp. So he was very, very choppy in and out during the preseason and training camp. He had a couple injuries early on in the season when he finally got back to the court. And then when he did get back, he was up and down between the main Red Claws, the Celtics G League affiliate, and back in Boston. But as time went on, kind of, I would say, mid-December is when he really stuck with the Celtics. And I think that time being with them, you know, continuously rather than taking trips back and forth to Maine and back and forth off the injury report, it really did help him a lot. And you could tell his confidence just kind of shot through the roof. Late February, I believe it was, he had a stretch where he played, you know, really good minutes on their West Coast road trip against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Lakers, the Trailblazers, the Houston Rockets. So in that time, he really kind of proved that he could play rotation minutes and really be a solid, solid impact player on the defensive end. And Brad Stevens, it was clear he trusted him because he was playing him with important minutes. And if Brad Stevens doesn't trust someone, he's not going to put him out there. So I think the fact that he played in his last nine games of the season, seven of those he played double-digit minutes, it was really a testament to Romeo's hard work, kind of keeping his head down and really doing what he was supposed to do, and showed that upward trajectory of his entire rookie year. So a lot of ups and downs, but definitely in the long run, it was successful.
Chris, you see the NBA game on a daily basis when it's being played, and it's played at such a high level. Now that you've had a chance to follow, and I know you also followed Romeo in Maine when he went back and forth to some games there. Now that you've had a chance to really get to know his game, how does it relate? How does his skills, his ability, his position, how he fits in at his position with his length and size, how does it fit into the NBA game today and maybe what specifically the Celtics are trying to build and do? Is this something you see, you've seen things from him that make you think that he could have a nice NBA career for some seasons to come?
Yeah, he definitely can. I mean, it's kind of interesting because coming into IU and then coming into the NBA draft, he was seen as this, you know, kind of explosive scorer. I mean, you guys saw it firsthand when he was at New Albany. He could score the basketball with total ease. He scored over 3,000 points. But as he, you know, he had some shooting struggles through the injury when he was at IU, and then obviously the injuries right when he came into Boston. Now he's really shown off his defensive versatility. And that versatility, along with his length alone, fits perfectly into virtually any NBA system. I mean, you look for these long athletic wings who can guard multiple positions along the perimeter, and they're switchable. And Brad Stevens' system specifically loves switchable guys who can, you know, guard multiple positions along the perimeter, and that's Romeo. So I have no doubt, because he's a hard worker and he's extremely talented, he's also still extremely young, his offensive game will come. But right now already, he does fit an NBA mold as that versatile perimeter defensive wing. And I think that's huge for any rookie to kind of cement that early on. A lot of rookies come in and they really try and push the envelope with that offensive, you know, mindset. Romeo kind of realized, hey, if I want to get on the court here, if I want to make an impact, it's going to be on the defensive side. And he did a really good job of that. So, yeah, in the long run, I think his defensive game is really going to push a lot of his NBA opportunity early, but I'm sure that offensive game will come along too.
Forbes writer Chris Grinham is my guest. We're talking about Romeo Langford, New Albany product. You get a chance to interview these guys as well. You obviously talked to Romeo for the story that you recently penned about him, but you get a chance, whether it's a veteran, whether it's one of the key players in the rotation, whether it's a rookie, you get a chance to kind of learn who these guys are. You get a chance to pick up on their personalities through press opportunities and events out in the community. How does Romeo fit in, and how does his personality compare? Because he always here was so soft-spoken, and he did all the media interviews. He did everything asked of by fans and well beyond that. But was always kind of just there, just smiling and soft-spoken. And obviously things can be a little different in the NBA. How does his personality fit in with the rest? And how is he to talk to and cover and follow through this rookie journey?
Yeah, kind of exactly what you said. He's a soft-spoken kid. He means very well. And he knows, you know, how to kind of stay under the radar. It's tough to say he stayed under the radar for a while because he was a top five, top 10 recruit in the country when he went to IU and stuff. But even through that, and as his fame continues to grow, he's remained soft-spoken. He's quiet. He's got that kind personality to him. And I think it, you know, it fits well. In an NBA locker room, there's a lot of different personalities. There's a lot of different egos. So from a coaching standpoint, I can imagine that having a rookie, a lottery pick, you know, a highly touted rookie come in and kind of keep their head down, do what they're supposed to do, kind of quiet, soft-spoken, but hardworking at the same time, I think that's got to be relatively refreshing. You got a lot of these rookies that come into the league and, you know, they've got millions of Instagram followers and they're flashy and they love posting their highlights and their workout videos and whatever. Romeo's kind of on the other side where he keeps his head down, he's quiet, and he does what he's supposed to do. And I think that has to be refreshing. And he fits very well. I mean, you could tell by the time he came back from Maine in December and he just stuck with the Celtics for the remainder of the season, he fit in very well. I mean, this is a great group of players. A team that last year went through a lot of ups and downs from a chemistry standpoint with Kyrie Irving and a lot of big egos in that locker room. This year, they mesh very, very well. And Romeo's, you know, right in the thick of it. He fits very well with this group.
Chris, during this shutdown of the league due to the coronavirus, are the players all being asked to stay in their Boston homes or apartments, or have they been allowed to leave the area, leave the city to travel home?
They have been allowed to leave and travel home. So, you know, there are plenty of guys that have homes here or have apartments here that have chosen to stay. Gordon Hayward is still here. Brad Stevens, some of the coaching staff, they're still here. Other guys like Jaylen Brown, he's traveled back to his home in Georgia. You know, there's a lot of guys who have chosen to go home. And so I think for many of them, it was kind of a nice escape and an opportunity to get some family time in, which they normally don't get over the course of the entire year, really. So they do have the freedom to travel home.
Chris Grenham of Forbes Sports, my guest. Chris, what do you do after covering almost every move that Boston makes? All of a sudden, this shutdown happens, not just NBA, but sports as a whole. What do you write about? What do you do to keep yourself busy?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, that was our biggest concern right off the bat. For me, I'm a big NBA draft guy, so luckily – I have a lot of that content to dive into. So I've been doing draft boards, Celtics draft targets, that sort of thing. But also I use it as an opportunity to kind of dive into some features like this Romeo story, where you can kind of find out where he came from, find out the people in the community that raised him. And I really do enjoy diving into stories like that. And you don't really get the time to do that over the course of the season, because like you said, it's nonstop. So this does provide a good opportunity to do that. So it's a lot of features like that, and it's a lot of draft film and prospect dives at this point, which I do enjoy.
Chris Grenham, Forbes Sports, my guest. Let's close with this. Now that I know you're a good NBA draft guy, I'll keep that in mind. Let's close with a draft question. I saw the virtual WNBA draft last Friday. NFL draft obviously is coming up here very soon. NBA draft, is it delayed? Is it virtual? And I know this is all going to be just your opinion on it right now. And could it be possible that we have a draft without a combine or even individual small group workouts that have been helpful to a lot of fringe players over the years?
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be bizarre, because I have a hard time. Right now, obviously, the draft is still set for late June. And Danny Ainge this morning said that right now they're preparing as if it is going to happen at its set date. But I really just don't see that happening. Granted, a lot of these draft dates will not get adjusted until the league schedule is adjusted. So they will operate after, you know, the league decides when the playoffs are going to happen, if the season is even going to happen at all. So that will happen at that point. But I have a hard time seeing the draft combine and pre-draft workouts and all of the pre-draft process occurring as normal, because it's just far too complicated. I mean, scheduling the draft from a virtual standpoint itself is complicated enough. Trying to get guys all to Chicago for a draft combine or something like that, I just really don't see it happening. And it's hard. I mean, a lot of guys really, really, really benefit from, they benefit from March Madness, where they can, you know, they have a bigger platform, tougher competition. And that's really where they help their stock out a lot. And then the pre-draft workouts that follow the season is really where they separate, because they can sit down with a front office for for 2 hours, and they can work out for an hour with four other guys, and they can sit down and get a face-to-face interview with the general manager. That's not going to happen. So you're going to see a lot of guys in this draft who might go in the late first round, early second round, that, yeah, they probably would have jumped up into the first round because of their, you know, that pre-draft process really would have helped them out. They don't have that benefit. I mean, you know, like, it's talking to a person in person, face-to-face for a half hour is significantly different from talking to a person over FaceTime for a half an hour. And that's really what these draft prospects and the teams on the other side are going to have to deal with. So it's going to be a complicated process for sure.
Absolutely. Chris Grinham, great story earlier this week. Thanks for the opportunity to be involved with that. You can read it at Forbes.com. I just retweeted it again on Twitter and will continue to share it. It's titled How Celtics' Romeo Langford Became the Hometown Hero of New Albany, Indiana. Chris, great story. Thanks for your coverage. Thanks for coming on with us today. And at some point, when this thing is starting back up or happens or doesn't happen, the rest of the NBA season, that is, we'll catch back up with you and talk the latest on Romeo Langford as long as he's around Boston.
Definitely. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Chris Grinham, Forbes Sports, with us to talk Romeo Langford. Great story. Again, I just retweeted it at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, and you can find it there, so make sure to check it out. It's worth your time. Good read, lots of good quotes in there from some local people that know Romeo Langford, that really knew him and worked with him, like Jim Shannon in his high school career. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some local sports and more, and also we'll tell you all about our spotlight senior today from New Washington High School, a baseball player, and that is Blake Wallace. That all coming your way here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for our final segment today. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. They offer screen printing, embroidery, and fully sublimated uniforms. Whatever it may your need may be, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. We have Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, on with us in this segment. We also have our senior spotlight on Blake Wallace of New Washington Baseball. We'll be telling you all about another senior today as we wrap up our program. Josh, great to have you with us today. Kentucky yesterday canceled spring sports when their schools went out officially in person for the rest of the year, and they were hanging on to that basketball tournament, the Sweet 16, in hopes that it could somehow be played at a later date, maybe even over the summer. But it was canceled yesterday as well. So our final hope for some high school basketball, even though it wouldn't be in Indiana, is off the chopping block now. It's been cut as well.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. You hate to see that, but you knew it was coming. I mean, it was, unfortunately, it was inevitable. But yeah, that would be something to see the Sweet 16 played in June or sometime like that. If that happened, I'm sure plenty of people would come, even maybe across the river here. We might make that drive to Lexington just to see some basketball. It's been so long, we don't even know what it's like anymore.
Yeah, they would have had a unique corner on the market had they found a way to play it maybe sometime in early June, but it doesn't look like at this point we'll be that far along in the recovery process, if that's the right term, in this coronavirus situation. Josh, I know you're a big draft guy. You're a big NFL guy as well. We talk about coronavirus and state tournaments being canceled and no Kentucky state tournament in basketball now. the draft is going to be considerably affected by this as well. No live audience, everything's virtual. Going to have a completely different feel from it this year than what it normally does.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun just to watch and see. Hopefully, you know, hopefully some team messes up somehow. Somebody messes up a pick, or they have internet troubles and they can't they're having Wi-Fi issues. They can't connect. You know, those problems that everybody has. And maybe somebody steals a pick. Maybe that'll probably happen to the Bengals. Actually, that might happen to the Bengals with the first pick. Speaking of which, I don't know. But that like The Last Dance is going to be just, I'm sure it's going to draw crazy TV rating numbers, because, you know, that's the only really thing of interest sports wise to even watch or come along for the last couple months.
I was trying to think yesterday, looking at some NFL draft stuff, and obviously I don't track football as closely as I do basketball. Anybody that listens to this show would know that. Are there any that you're aware of, local connections to the draft this year, local schools with players that have the opportunity? I would think there are a handful between Indiana, Louisville, and Kentucky maybe that some teams have their eye on at some point, maybe later on in the draft.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the biggest one locally is Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle for Louisville. He's a projected first-round pick. A lot of mock drafts had him going number 10 to the Browns, which would be obviously unfortunate for him. But in the last few days, I've seen a couple where he's been going number 14, which would be a pretty nice position, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he would be going to the offensive line and blocking for Tom Brady. Mm. And that would be quite a place to land this upcoming season with you're looking at Gronk coming out of retirement yesterday, getting traded there. And then, you know, with the receivers Tom Brady has, it's going to be a scary team next year. My fantasy team, I'm just going to draft all Buccaneers next year.
Talking with Josh Cook. Josh is the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's with us on Wednesdays, and this segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. Outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League does all the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. You can find out more at mlshirtco.com. The Last Dance, you mentioned it as far as getting big ratings like you expect the NFL draft to do. It was fantastic. And you were just on here a week ago telling us about some good sports programming that I had never heard of, an HBO series. I think it was on Southern California, maybe women's basketball, that you really liked,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I haven't got that far in my list yet of TV to binge watch, but I did get into The Last Dance, and I think I could have stayed up Sunday night and watched all 10 episodes that are going to play out here over the next month or so. It was fantastic, and there are so many things when you think back about Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and the crew that you just wonder, is this going to be mentioned? Is that going to be mentioned? I remember when Michael did this or Rodman did this. So many things that I think we have to look forward to in some of the coming episodes.
Yeah, it was definitely there wasn't really any big surprises so far or anything, but it was just fun to see all the old clips and the interviews and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was back in my, late high school, college. So that, I followed the Bulls pretty closely at that time. I was a huge Michael Jordan fan, as most people were, I guess. But, I saw him during the 84 Olympics play, and I just kind of, really liked him. So then I started liking the Bulls, even though they were horrible when he first got there. And he's playing with guys like Dave Corzine or Granville Waiters, these old guys. But then they just got better and better. And it was fun to see the progression they made, and obviously just his dominance. It was great.
Absolutely. Talking with Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. You can follow the News and Tribune and their sports coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports. I know that coverage as far as live sports, like on this program, we've had to get a little different, a little creative to continue on, but plenty of things to feature, plenty of things to write about. Anything that you would recommend a listener check out at in the sports page today or recently?
Oh, everything, of course. You gotta check out everything. No, today was our boys' cross country team. Finally getting a chance to get some of those NETSB all area teams that we never had a chance to get to. We're trying to get those out of the way now, so that's good. If there's one positive from this, we're being able to write all those stories, so that's good. We've also got some senior spotlight athletes and college looking at some college athletes too, some local college athletes. So, you know, it's fun to kind of have to find some stuff to write about. Actually, it's kind of fun.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune segment presented by Major League Shirt Company. Josh, as always, thanks for the chat. Thanks for the update. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Happy Earth Day, Matt.
Thank you, Josh. Josh Cook, always fun to have on. Again, and normally we talk a lot of local happenings. Hadn't been a whole bunch of that recently, so we appreciate Josh coming on to continue to talk sports from the best local perspective that we possibly can. Again, we wrap up the show each day with our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete that basically has lost so much, their senior year of sports here in the spring, and of course all the things that normally a senior in the final month and a half or so of high school gets to experience. Lots of fun memories from that time. And today we feature Blake Wallace. He attends New Washington High School, where he's a baseball player for the Mustangs. He was hitter of the year last season for New Washington, and academically he's a Core 40 diploma. That's what he's targeting at New Washington upon graduation here in the next month or so. Hobbies, he enjoys fishing, likes to hang out with friends, and also works as well. And when it came to people he wanted to give a shout-out to, one of those was Coach John for getting me here, making him such a better ball player, and for helping him to get to college next year so he can continue to play the game he loves, baseball. He also wants to thank his dad for always supporting him and his mom as well for taking him to games over the years and getting me into tournaments and everything for the time spent and the money spent as well. He said just a very big thanks to mom and my parents. Blake Wallace is the son of David Wallace and Crystal Oakley, and he is going to get the chance to play college baseball where he will study business. He told me yesterday that he just recently found his college destination. He's going to attend Clark University, which is located in Iowa, and that is where Blake Wallace will get the opportunity to play college baseball. Blake, like we tell all of the seniors that we feature on this show, hats off to you. Being a high school athlete and being one that gets the opportunity to play in college is a big deal, and it means you put a lot of work in behind the scenes outside of the games where the fans and parents and others are there. So we salute you for that. We're sorry you don't get the opportunity to experience one final go-around at New Washington, but again, a great career in the classroom, on the field, and so very fortunate that you'll get to continue on and play baseball again next year at Clark University in Iowa. Blake Wallace of New Washington, our senior spotlight here of spring sport athletes on this Wednesday program. Thank you so much for being with us. Don't forget to check out the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud as well. Back with you Thursday, we've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall to talk IU basketball, college hoops, and more. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.